Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, Green Track is closing. Families lose jobs. Also, Governor Ivey has a plan. And new API chief says the legislature is just not conservative enough.
Liar! Liar!
Get back, witch!
Witch? No. Crazy? Yes. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and today I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
How's it going, guys? Still happy,
it is. Yes. You're one happy fellow, right? Okay.
That's right.
You got that. Let's see. I tell you what, there's a lot of people in Greene County that aren't happy, and there are people in Macon County that aren't happy because several hundred families are now without work because of the I would say erroneous rulings by the Alabama Supreme Court and by the I would say mean-spirited pursuit of gaming by Steve Marshall. Josh, break it down for us.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. This has been going on for a long time. Okay, so we've been fighting this fight in this state for a long time between the anti-gambling folks and the people that run casinos, whether that be the Port Creek Indians or the non-Native American casinos at Victory Land, Green Track, the Birmingham Racecourse, and Mobile Greyhound Park, which is also mostly owned by the Port Band. You know, we've been doing this for a while, and you know, they had recent rulings that broke down this tax issue over in Greene County, which is, it's honest to God, it's one of the most egregious legal rulings that I think I have ever seen come down from anybody, where the highest court in the state essentially takes over a case and issues orders on matters that were never even brought up at a lower court. And then just issues its own opinion about what should be done in this thing, and essentially sticks a business with a tax rate of greater than 100% that will force them to close. I mean, it's terrible. Then, not to be outdone, then we also have a nuisance case that was brought by Steve Marshall in Macon County that's going to end up forcing Victory Land to lay off a bunch of people because they can no longer play electronic bingo games either. And you know, all in all, the most egregious part of this whole thing is the fact that the people in Macon County and the people in Greene County went to the polls and said, we want these games in these places. Yeah. They did it by overwhelming margins, and they knew exactly what they were voting for. They were voting for casino-style gambling. And so here we are with these folks, all these folks in these counties, two of our poorest counties in the state, laid off, and for what? In the meantime, we still got gambling everywhere. There's all sorts of places playing the games illegally, even though nobody's out there doing anything to them. And you have the Port Band that have three legal casinos because you know they're following federal law, something Alabama has apparently decided not to do.
Right.
Well, also, wait a minute, just a second there, though. That they are legal as long as it's legal in the state. They can't be out there on having those bingo machines if they're not legal in the state.
If they're not legal for someone else to play, they're not legal for them to play.
Exactly. That's
but Green Track has now informed its employees and the gaming commission over there that they will be shutting their doors for good, it appears. And that is the only black-owned, African-American-owned paramutual organization in Alabama. And so, this case against Green Track claimed that they owed hundreds of millions of dollars. Was it hundreds of millions of dollars?
Yeah, $106 million is what it ended up being,
And taxes that a lower court And the tribunal said, no, no, no. But the Supreme Court decided they owed that money.
Now, albeit, remember that these, I believe it's the state of Alabama, revenue estimated these. Mm-hmm. They never saw the books. They never did an audit. They never went in and did anything. They just said, oh, we think you owe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they just made the number up.
Well, it's even worse than that. You know, the Supreme Court went in. The way they got to this number, essentially, was this. If you go into a casino and you put a dollar in a machine and you win a $10 game, whatever it is, and so now you've got 11 credits in the machine, right? They tax the credits, okay? They tax the credits as though, if you put them all back in, they tax that as you losing $11. The problem in that is they don't also allow the casino to take a loss on the $10.
Right.
So, you know, they're putting a dollar in, but they're getting taxed. You know, they've only lost a dollar. The casino's only gained a dollar, but they're paying taxes on $11. So that's what the Supreme Court decided was going to be their new tax rate, which is why it has boosted the tax rate up over 100% when you combine it with these other taxes. It's absolutely ludicrous what's going on here. And the whole goal was to just stop these places from being in business as though they were illegal. They are not illegal gambling operations. These people, they're the most legal thing you can have. They've gone through the amendment process for our Constitution to operate these things.
Well, and that has been this. We know this is true, but we have people that benefit politically and financially from going after these institutions. And there is a real and genuine solution. You know, one of the biggest things that's going to happen this session is to renew economic incentive packages to bring business and keep business in Alabama. And we're going to spend billions of dollars on that. There is a business in Alabama, and it's called gaming, that will bring between $750 to $1 billion in revenue to the state and not cost the state...
Every year.
And not cost the state a dime in economic incentives. What the problem is that we can't get the legislature to pass a bill authorizing the voters to vote on gaming. Mm-hmm. Now, Susan, you and I have talked to Governor Ivey. Josh has talked to Governor Ivey's staff. We've talked about it for years, and she said we need to let the people vote on this, but we can't get the legislature to move.
She said that since she took office, she's always said, I think that it's time that we need to let the people vote on this. What the legislature votes on does not count toward what the voter wants. It's the voter that makes the decision, not the legislature, to make it legal in Alabama. And she said from the very beginning that that's exactly what she wanted. She wanted the voters to be able to vote on it. And I believe she also said that one of her greatest regrets last session was that they did not get the gaming legislation through for the voter to be able to vote on.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're running out of time here, but if Governor Ivey gets behind a comprehensive gaming plan, it will pass. Mm-hmm. Even though she has no vote. But if she doesn't, I'm afraid they will keep stalling and stalling and stalling. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
There seems to be a new wave of aggressive driving lately.
You see those people, they are the ones that are tailgating other people because they have to get through their destination now.
Weaving in and out of traffic, looks like they could care less about who's around them. There's no one else on the roadway. They're the only one there.
Aggressive driving can be the difference between life and death.
All because somebody thought they needed to be the front of the line and get there first.
Slow down. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, we've been talking about this for at least a couple of years now. a political operation to ban critical race theory from being taught in schools was pushed for the last couple of years. Now, again, critical race theory is not taught in grade school. It's an elective and a graduate level. But that doesn't matter. It is a conspiracy that's taken hold. Alabama is now ready to pass a bill that targets divisive concepts. Now, I don't know how broadly you can define something as broadly as a divisive concept, but a bill, House Bill 7, sponsored by that font of all wisdom, Ed Oliver, Representative Ed Oliver, mm-hmm. is pushing a bill that will say that you cannot teach divisive concepts in school or in any institution of higher learning or in any state agency. And then they define divisive bills, divisive concepts in such a way that I don't know what they're talking about.
Absolutely. What they've done is they've gone and come up with these seven concepts. You read through them and they sound like copy and paste out of some other bill, some other where, or, you know, but yet there is no division. There's no definition of those seven divisive concepts. On the back end of that bill, basically it says, well, you know, if you're teaching history, well, you know, these are the exceptions. What it is, the bottom line here, folks, this is a bill to say, hey, I got something done. What they don't say is it doesn't do anything. It doesn't define the concepts. It doesn't say, and then in the back end, it gives them a way out. If you're gonna do something, give it teeth. Just don't act like you're, you know, doing something that you're not actually doing. This is embarrassing.
And I agree with Susan, but Josh, if you're mm-hmm. an educator or a public servant, you got to be afraid of this because it's defined so loosely, it could mean anything that someone says it means. So that you could lose your job. You could be punished at work for doing something that you don't even know you're doing wrong.
Yeah. Well, we just had a school system in the state cancel the visit of a black author because a parent complained. One parent complained, and so we're about to tee it up. I'm assuming with this stupid bill from a stupid person I mean, you know what? I don't want to single out Ed Oliver because he's not. He's just on a train here of doing stupid things. Okay, he's just on this GOP push for divisive concepts. We see what's happening in Florida, and they believe that Ron DeSantis has gained a lot of fame and popularity down there, even though he'll never win outside of the state. And they believe that that's the way that they want to fight things. Okay, that's the right way to go about it. As he's, you know, decrying diversity and inclusion down there as somehow divisive, and that's what they want to do here. They want to get on this train and make a lot of noise, and in the meantime, disrupt the hell out of an already hard job that a public school teacher has, or college professors have, and putting together lesson plans and talking to their kids and getting them to understand complicated issues that have happened in our past. And you know, it's getting really old to me to watch these people continue to vilify teachers, and they can beat around the bush and pretend like that's not what's happening here, but it is. It's exactly what's happening. When you say that you're banning divisive concepts, that means that you believe that the teachers in your schools are teaching divisive concepts, that they're teaching kids to hate each other, that they're talking about racism in ways that makes white kids feel bad, or something along those lines, when none of that's happening. We all know the teachers in our schools. We all respect the teachers in our schools. And it's so idiotic and counterproductive, and there's so many greater problems that we could be focused on right now, and instead we're focused on this nonsense.
And Susan, they really don't offer much in the way of instruction here. But the big thing is, and this is where it really is a problem, and we've talked about this before, they are once again using education and mm-hmm. children and teachers mm-hmm. as a pawn for politics.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with being well-rounded and educated. It's all about the politics of dividing people.
And that's you know, a concept that just keeps gaining momentum, and it's ridiculous.
It's because they have no policy ideas. They have no policy ideas, right. And so you got to keep using children as pawns because they know that you can spark outrage when you use children in this way. Mm-hmm, it's because they have no policy to lean back on.
Well, and you bring up a good point. I want to move on to this. The new head of the Alabama Policy Institute, which claims to be bipartisan, and if that's bipartisanship,
never has
then
been.
It has always been a right-wing or far-right-wing organization. That's all it does. Their new head is a woman named Stephanie Smith, new head of that organization. And Josh, we've done some research on her writings, and she's pretty much anti-business, anti-vax, anti-gambling,
anti-KIV,
anti-anything that seems to point to a better future for Alabama. Mm. It is about this sort of Taliban-esque religious fervor to box in business, legislators, and everything into a religious sect that controls the state. That, to me, is frightening.
She's a member. She's a regressive, is what I call them.
A regressive.
Yeah. It's that's not surprising. I laugh every single time somebody says that API is a bipartisan organization. Just shut up. I mean, stop it. Do what you want to do. Whatever, man. But stop pretending that this is a bipartisan organization. It's not, and it never has been. And it's shown in the leadership that's there that has now been selected to lead it. It's running counter to most of the mainstream politicians, whether Democrat or Republican. Okay,
right.
They're running counter to a lot of their own members and to the business organizations of the state. They run steadfastly against most of the policies that those organizations push.
Susan, I know years ago you and I looked into a group that was called the Coalition to Repress Anything Progressive.
Mm.
Do you remember?
I do remember crap.
Yep. Oh, that's what that was. Crap.
Crap.
Yeah. This seems a whole lot like...
It's a whole lot like crap. You know, make him squeal like a pig, baby. Make him squeal like a pig.
They just do not want anything that doesn't smack of 18th century America or Alabama. Yeah. They really don't.
Well, they went burning witches at the stake any day now.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Right. With the way the Attorney General has behaved recently, we're pretty close, yeah.
Well, I tell you, we're running out of time, but Marshall is contemplating the Fugitive Pregnant Woman Act. Just think about that. We'll be right back. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times. I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
Speed is one of the biggest factors in a fatal car crash. Your car stops, but your body does not stop at the same time. Your body keeps going, you know, and that could be running into your seatbelt, that could be hitting the airbag. Something has to stop it, and unfortunately, it's something very hard.
There have been times that we've come upon accidents where if people weren't speeding, they'd probably still be alive today.
It's truly dangerous, and it puts everybody at risk.
There's just no point to it.
This kind of stuff has got to stop.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. I hate to go down this road. It's just impossible not to, though. There is a new group that is wanting to make inroads into Alabama because, check this out, they, like Ms. Smith over at API, do not think that Governor Ivey or the state legislature is conservative enough. Governor Ivey and the state legislature is not conservative, Susan. They're
is this Attila the Huns group?
It must be. I mean, I swear, these groups come in here to Alabama to take over because it's so easy. People are so gullible to these ideas. All you got to do is say conservative, and they're like, oh, wow. I mean, please. We've got the most conservative legislature. I mean, Governor Ivey's not a conservative. She's not crazy. She's not crazy conservative. She actually has some thought behind what she's
Josh,
doing.
Josh, the state Freedom Caucus Network, which is an offshoot of the Freedom House Freedom Caucus, which is home of the crazies.
Yeah.
You know, that's where Mo Brooks came from, is the Freedom Caucus. They are planning to make inroads into Alabama because they say that we are not conservative enough down here, and that we need to elect leaders in the state house that are more conservative. We need more Mo Brookses, in their opinion.
Yeah, yeah, we need less stuff done, apparently. I think they're funded by Club for Growth. I think we'll find that some of that money's flowing into that, and so they're going to have money to toss around to some of the crazies, and we've already seen some of them. We know a gentleman from Hartsville that's got some money from them, and to introduce more transgender bathroom bills, because again, that's what's really on the minds of the people in Hartsville, it's so stupid. I mean, just say it out loud. Alabama's not conservative enough. Just say that out loud to somebody. You know, it's just the dumbest thing that you could say. I mean, I think at this point, even Republicans, even the folks that you can still have a conversation with, about politics or about policy or whatever, just basic ideas for how to govern in all of life. I think most of those people take a look around and say, you know, I think we've gone a little too far this direction, maybe we need to pull it back a little bit towards the middle some, and make sure that we're still advocating for the least of us, you know, in some way, shape, or form, and that we're doing things that aren't chasing away businesses, because I got to tell you, a lot of these businesses have become very socially conscious over the last few years, and some of the stuff that you're talking about doing, you're basically going to run out. I don't know what we're going to have here. There's nobody going to be locating here. I can tell you that.
Well, and the reason business becomes socially conscious is because their customers are socially conscious.
They sell to people. How about that? Yeah. They sell to people, all people.
How about this session, instead of all this crazy stuff, we actually worry about things like sewage in people's front yards in the Black Belt, or the fact that we don't have enough rural hospitals. I don't know. Maybe those things don't matter, but CRT and transgender children and bathrooms do.
Yeah, they do. They do a lot more because, again, if you don't have any policy ideas, which, you know, our leaders do have policy ideas here in Alabama, and they want to move forward. And these people, the crazies, as we like to call them, and I'm seriously wondering about their mental state.
I mean, honestly, these are the type of bills that you push when, the transgender bills, the CRT bills, those are the type of things you push when no one takes you seriously, including the people that typically back Republicans. When they don't take you seriously, they don't come to you to offer serious legislation. All right. Things that push the state forward, things that everybody goes, hey, that's a good bill. Not bad. You know, that's not too bad. They don't come to them for that. And so in order to make noise and get themselves recognized on the ballot, they've got to do dumb stuff like that.
Well, and this is a real tense segue here, but I do want to congratulate ALGOP Chair John Wall.
Yes.
He was chosen to be... vice chair at the RNC for the Southeast region. And I like John. John is a good guy. He'll always talk to you. He'll always give you his thoughts. You don't have to agree with him, and he doesn't feel he has to agree with you to be cordial.
He doesn't feel like he had to hide anything, as far as I can tell.
We got a little bit of time left, not much, but there's a pre-filed bill to cut good time for prisoners. I mean, one of the things we do, we lock people up, we lock them up, and we say, look, you're locked up, but if you behave yourself, if you won't stab your neighbor, if you won't trash your bunk, if you won't get caught doing drugs or whatever.
Or beating up a CO.
Yeah, you know, we're going to give you good time for every day that you behave yourself.
Right.
And it works, because people don't want to stay in prison. But in their infinite wisdom, some folks have come up with a bill that will cut that good time in half.
I want to know, every sponsor of that bill has ever toured an Alabama prison.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm shocked that Senator April Weaver, who is, by all accounts, a very reasonable human being, I don't know what her thinking is to sponsor this bill, because it makes no sense. It makes the prisons more dangerous. It doesn't.
Well, it just the problem is it's all, it's again, it's a bill for show. Okay, it doesn't have anything to do with real life and the correlation of stats right here, because we talked to Chris England on our podcast last week, and one of the things he mentioned was back up until a few years ago, we had a parole rate of around 60% or so of the folks who should be paroled. All right, and that thing has dropped like a rock over the course of the last few years since they made the changes at pardons and paroles. All right, and that now hardly anybody ever gets out. While they were at that 60% rate, the crime rate was steadily dropping in the state. Ever since that time, crime rate has been increasing slightly over the course of the last few years, and somehow we've kept more people locked up. So there's no real correlation in what they're talking about between these people who are earning good time and getting out and going out and earning their way back into society. Okay, are there some problems with some of those people? Of course there are. Of course there are some problems. There's some recidivism there, and they commit crimes. But overall, it's a good system that lets people who ought to be in prison out of prison, or lets them out and lets them serve their time and lets them get out on the thing. If you want to talk about somebody and learn how broken the system is, I can encourage everybody to go to Facebook right now and look up Daryl Bailey's post. He's a DA in Montgomery County. Look up his post from this past week about the incarcerated man that he put in prison, who he's been trying to get out.
Well, Daryl Bailey is one of the finest DAs we've got in the state. I encourage you to take a look at it. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us, because we watch them.